This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Intro, and today I'm joined by Councilwoman Mara Camino. Hello, Mara. Nice to see you.
Great, Kate. Nice to see you.
And thank you so much for taking some time, because we're going to talk about the city's comprehensive plan. It seems to be open season on planning right now in Johnson County. The county is undertaking a large and extensive comprehensive plan, but so is the city, and you're inviting public comment, and there's a survey, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But maybe you'd explain why now the comprehensive plan is being updated. It was last produced in 2007, which obviously is a while back, but what particularly made the council think that this was the moment?
Well, in my opinion, council members went to a WHAM meeting, and part of the duty of city council members is to work on the comprehensive plan. And most comprehensive plans are only good for about 5 years. And since ours is so old, it really felt that if it was truly a guiding document, it needed to be updated. And then when you're looking at funding, grants, et cetera, they want to know what your planning process is. Do you have things that are shovel ready? Do you have a plan going forward? Do you have all your ducks in a row? Have you really thought things out? And some of that should come out in a comprehensive plan. The one before this, 2007, I think was 1997. The city itself has not been on target for every 5 years, but I think it is something, if done well and kept up, could be turned around every 5 years. And that gives council direction. And again, with being an elected position, the council can change every 2 years. So I think it's important to look at the work that's gone on before and not have to keep redoing it over and over again.
So you are relatively new to the council. This is your first term. That probably gives you both a sort of a benefit and maybe a detriment when you're coming and talking about plans. But is a plan something that is constantly referred to within the council? I mean, many people would consider a plan to be almost like a roadmap or a guideline for focus and priorities and so on. Is that something that the council feels is a big need right now?
I think it is. I think this plan also guides our planning commission. And so especially the land use side of it, that's being done by an engineering firm to help us with future growth and to plan for that. And, you know, to even help developers come in, if we're looking at it and planning for it, maybe we can have infrastructure closer so it's not as costly to those developments, maybe new subdivisions, etc. So, everything touches everything. So it's even like in my background as an educator, you don't just show up every day and just fly off the cuff. You plan for it. And I think when you're dealing with taxpayers' dollars, you really need to have a plan too. It's like, oh, today we're going to do A Street. Well, you look at all your street conditions and there's a plan for. And sometimes it gets disrupted based on weather conditions, like last year, where we had to go in and do Erie and Delaware. But, you know, if you're really looking at your city, every street should be touched at some time during the course or your life. I mean, you don't just do something once and it's done. It'd be nice if it could be that way, but...
So the plan is going to help with priorities, mm-hmm. and is going to be a guiding document. And in a moment, I hope we can come and talk about some of the detail of what's going into that plan. One of the big issues, of course, that's probably very different from 2007 is the issue of affordable housing. Is that something that is going to be looked at in depth in this?
Not in depth, because we're looking at other documents and using those resources. So that we're not having to, again, pay for a housing study. If we can use the Northeast Wyoming housing study, because ours is basically pretty close to Gillette's, pretty close to Sheridan's, pretty close to other areas in Northeast Wyoming, we all know we need more workforce housing, attainable housing, you know, and if we can just use other surveys to support what we're saying. But again, there's got to be some economic development in that to help the impetus of having that housing happen.
So let's talk now about what actually is going to be the content of this document. What are the category areas that you've been particularly focusing on?
Definitely housing. You look at just the community and your overall goals, your population, the economy, community resources. You want to look, and that's something that when we after this survey, what we'll do is some open house meetings. And we have our last survey question is an open-ended, but what do our citizens really want Buffalo to be known for? Is it, do they want us just to be tourism, kind of like a Jackson, or do they want it to be more historical to bring tourists in, but to have more of a historical flavor? Or do they want us to focus on trails just so that we're more of a recreation area? You know, what do they picture? And this is something that changes with council members too, because of course everyone usually comes in with an idea of what they want their community to be like when they volunteer to run for an office. But really, what does the community want? And I think that's where the survey and the open houses are so important, is because you do get community feedback. And that's the value of it, is you're asking.
So the community feedback is one important part, but it's also self-selected. It's not required. You're not sending something out to every home or dwelling in the city. People need to know about it, and that's partly why we're talking about it now. But they do self-select as to whether they're going to contribute. And those answers, of course, are going to be somewhat skewed by the fact that it's a self-selected set of opinions. Are you going to factor anything else into the process of sort of providing maybe a more 360 context to the input?
I think it's self-selected even if we mailed one to every citizen, because it's up to that person whether they want to take their time and fill it out and bother to send it back too. And it's self-selected if anyone shows up to the open meetings. So you can always ask, but you can't always get all the answers. But I think that's it's important as a council and as a planning commission, as we look at the results and we look at the recommendations. And then we also have consulting fees set aside with Interstate Engineering that they can take a look at it too, and maybe, you know, see if they agree with how we assess the feedback, or if they saw something different, or, you know, something stood out to them. This is where a city planner would really be nice to have.
And the current status of a city planner is that we have a city planner and a building inspector in one person who is at City Hall, but that person is not an expert. He's not a planning expert, and that is a highly skilled and trained position. And I believe that we're still subcontracting that to an outside agent, and that works. There will be input from that source too, will there?
Yes. So, yeah, ideally we would have our own city planner that, and in my personal opinion, I do think the city needs a planner, a dedicated planner.
Most cities have one. I remember that there was at one point, not that long ago, there were actually two. There was a city planner and an assistant planner, and I think it's really been a cost-saving exercise, maybe after some unfortunate planning errors and so on that were not popular in the community, and maybe some money was not wisely spent. Unfortunately, that position has gone by the wayside, but there is still nonetheless some expert input being sought. So the process for all of this is what?
So, you know, typically, or usually, you would contract this entire plan out
to a dedicated professional service.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But looking at many of the areas, I felt we could compile the data using the U.S. Census data and providing a narrative. I volunteered my services and my education, business and library background, to do that work, to do that footwork. And then we will have our consultants look it over and again offer any suggestions. We did contract out with them to do the land use portion of it. Felt that that was really, really important to be done by professionals. A lot of the other areas, it's easy to condense this material and again, with input from community members, to come up with a pretty great narrative on what should, and again, it's not set in stone. It's not saying this is what you will do the next 5 years. These are guidelines that you should consider, think about, to move forward.
So the process is gathering of information and then assessing that, and then it will be published. And does it need to be formally adopted by the council?
By the planning commission first and then by the council.
And does that give it any kind of real teeth or resilience?
Again, there's no teeth because it's not saying this is what we will do the next 5 years. It's a guiding document.
But as you mentioned before, it does also help to kind of enable, facilitate, access funds from all sorts of different places. They want to see that before they're prepared to.
Right, because if we have it in writing, we have thought about it, because this was published in 24 or 25. And so if we ask for funds in 26, it's yes, this was in their capital improvement projects back in 2024. So they were looking to the future and they were planning on doing this.
So is there a total budget? Is there a cost, a dollar amount that you can put to this project?
The land use portion of it, I would have to ask the business office, but I think it's going to be probably around $40,000. So it's going to be a lot cheaper, less than half of what we did in 2007.
And you would expect that to be even more expensive given inflation. Absolutely. And all the increases in expenditures and so on. So
absolutely.
But that's a significant cost saving.
Yes. And again, and the other impetus is we want to make it, this document is 99 pages of narrative and then probably another 99 of appendix maps, etc. We'd like to put all the appendices, our survey results and everything online, and actually this document online too, but make the document itself much smaller so that perhaps it would be used and referred to more, so that it's truly a useful guide.
I think that's one of the criticisms that many people level at plans, is that, well, yes, we went through the exercise, but now it's a beautiful binder, but it's on a shelf, and nobody ever really does anything, and they just say, yes, there's a plan, and it's sort of just a fancy dust bucket, really. How is this going to be? How do you see this becoming a really sort of living, lively, guiding document?
I think once we get it, if we can bring it to every meeting, so that we make it here, we make it aware, so it's in the front of our brains, and so we're thinking about, oh yes, we do, we've actually gone out and studied things and looked at things, and these are some results or some again guiding nuggets of wisdom that should lead our decision making. And I think that helps with our budgeting process on where we're going to put our money. Because again, it's the city is like your household budget. You only have so much. You can't keep adding new things and not taking care of what you have. We need to decide what our priorities are and kind of stick there.
So let's move on and talk about the survey itself, because you really are trying to encourage people to contribute, make their voices heard. I will say that I've looked at it. It's very easy to go through. It is not long. You can skim all the way down to the bottom and see how far you are. So you know that, you know, how long it's going to take you, and you can choose to do it, you know, slowly or quickly, depending on that. And it's very simple. And it seems to me it falls into sort of two areas. It's one, which is really looking at what we have. How satisfied are you with the services and the amenities and the infrastructure that's here? And then there's a sort of a second thought, which is, what would you like to see as priorities going forward? And you're going to capture those things. And people can access the survey online digitally. It's on the city website. And I'll make sure that there are some links here. And I know it's also been fairly widely promoted with a QR code for those of us who can use those. And you can access it, so it's pretty easy. What about the people who are not electronically or digitally connected?
That's I'm headed over to the senior center and maybe hold with paper copies, or if individuals want to just stop by City Hall and ask for a paper copy, we'd be happy to give that to them, and then we would input those results by hand. I'm volunteering to do that. Just to make it accessible to anyone who doesn't feel comfortable with technology or maybe doesn't have access to technology, because we really do want young to old to take it. It's for everyone who lives in Buffalo and Johnson County.
And I noticed there's also a section for other. So not only do you declare whether you are in the city or whether you're outside the city in the county, but there's another section which is for other. And so those are people who probably have some kind of perspective on what is happening here in the city, but maybe don't fall neatly into one of those two categories.
Yeah, there's several Airbnb owners that own property here, but they don't live in Johnson County or the city. If you think about our seniors that have children who live someplace else but are very concerned about the community their parents are in, you know, sometimes they'd like to have, and they're from Buffalo, they grew up in Buffalo, maybe they'd like to eventually retire here, they might like to have some input. But it allows us to disaggregate the data and just look at what our city residents think, just look at what the county residents think, because our county residents do come in and take advantage of our services. So I really feel like their input is valuable too. And then the other, currently we don't have very many other takers, but it is there and available.
One of the things that sometimes makes people hesitant to participate in a survey is that they're worried about anonymity. We live in a small town, we're all connected, and we like to think that things are quiet and private. They're not always so. Is this survey truly anonymous?
This survey is completely anonymous. The only identifier it asks, you know, is whether you're a city or county resident or other. There's no other way of tracking. So it is totally anonymous.
So do you think that that's going to be a problem, though, that you also don't know who is answering? So if they've got a particular, if you see a sort of particular response to a question about, you know, a particular service or a future plan and so on, you don't actually know who's answering that. There's no demographic data at all. And we know that our community is skewing older than it was certainly in 2007. Is that going to be a problem?
If we wanted to disaggregate the data that way, you know, we can look at the age through the census, we can look at the age of our population and know that we need to be catering. Our largest population is over 55, so that we should actually be catering more to their needs, because that's the biggest area right now. But I don't think, as far as the answer we're gathering, you know, we're wanting to know that the huge, you know, what are we going to find out that is really kind of a hot spot, you know, that maybe 80 to 90% of city population and county population really feel we need to pay attention to. You know, if it's something that's coming in 50-50, you realize that half the people, whatever, but what is your outliers? What really speaks to the readers, to us as a council, that we need to pay attention to? And early results right now, if you look at what's coming in, are streets. And
by that street, the condition of our streets. So the physical condition of the roads.
Yep.
And do you have a sense whether that's our main thoroughfares or is that the little, you know, residential?
I think it's all of it. You know, no matter where you're at, you're paying taxes. Don't you have the right to have your road fixed also? So, you know, definitely our major thoroughfares. And with our Main Street project coming, that's going to be a big one this summer and next summer. But there are other streets that also need attention.
So what is the time frame for this project? The community survey closes
the end of April, so okay. April 30th.
So you've got a little bit of time. You don't have to do it tonight, but you need to get on with it and those results. And then what happens next in terms of crunching all that data and coming back with a report.
Well, and that's something else. If we find out this 2007 survey, you know, the ideal is to have 10% of your population, so we would have 500 city residents respond to it. You know, I'd like to have a lot more than that, because, again, I think the more feedback you can get, the better decisions you can make. You're actually making decisions for a community and not for a few. So if at the end of April, if we realize we don't have what we feel is enough respondents, we could leave it open for another month. It's not, you know, we're not on a time constraint that says this has to be done April 30th. So I think maybe we do need to mail out something. Maybe we need to set up a pop-up survey collection center where people could drop by at the hospital, at the senior center, at the library. You know, what is it that our community needs? And let them know that their input is important.
So bearing in mind that there may be some flexibility in gathering those community responses, when do you hope to have a finished document for presentation and discussion and so on?
So the timeline is after that, probably about a month to look at the results and to form some conclusions. And then waiting on our land use plan to come in. And then also we need to have some open houses, at least two. So we'll be planning those, hoping to have one at the library and one at the senior center. So that would probably be this summer. So, you know, maybe by the end of this year, we would have a totally completed document. You know, it just depends on how everything comes in.
And are you talking to individual agencies and service providers as themselves, as professional services, or as providers, as those kinds of stakeholders? Are you also talking to them about what their opinions are and what they're learning from their own businesses, say, or the way that they provide services to the community?
That's not part of this. You know, the people are encouraged to complete the survey and write in the extra comment section, the last comment section, or come to our open houses. But that has not been part of the previous process.
So the responses may be a blend of personal with a professional
Absolutely.
Aspect to them. So.
And that's evident in the surveys that have already come in about taking care of the businesses that are already here. So, you know, everybody wears more than one hat.
In little towns, everybody needs to wear more than one hat.
Absolutely.
Don't we? Yes, indeed. As do I wear more than one hat. and so do you. so is there anything else that you would like people to know about? You're encouraging them to come and complete the survey. Watch this space for some more information about maybe a meeting that you maybe want to contribute to, and so on. And then anything else?
No, I just... we'd love to have people show up to our city council meetings. There's one tonight at 5:00 at City Hall. And again, I'll be advertising the survey QR code and website. But the only way we can make good decisions is by having good input. And so that's the reason for the comprehensive survey, is to ask the citizens questions about what they feel we're doing well, what needs improvement, and to be serious about it. You know, it's not just an area to land blast what you're not happy with. It's, you know, I encourage people to look at it as an opportunity to have input as if you were sitting in the office.
So thank you. And Myra, thank you very much indeed for your time talking about this comprehensive plan. As I say, it does seem to be planning season in Johnson County. I wish you well with this, and I'm very interested in seeing the results.
Great. Thank you, Kate. Have a great day.
Thank you.